The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And this is a platform that we give you what is happening around the world. We discuss and we engage on matters of development, security, politics, international affairs, and what can we do, what can we learn from the lessons. Because at the end of the day, after every deep discussion that we bring about, we always try to make sure that we contextualize it, bring it at home to say, in the Namibian context, what can we learn from that? Because the world is also the case study, and is what we can learn, and how we can apply the lesson and learn to save not only ourselves, but also to save the region, and to expand the way we do business, the way we relate to other people. And most importantly, we always make sure that the conversation must always be attached to human development, to say, no matter how educated you are, no matter how wealthy you are, if your work does not impact the life of individuals, the life of the majority, the downtrodden, then you are not doing what supposed to be done, particularly with the aim of advancing humanity. Yeah, it's 16 minutes past the hour of 6, and it's the 16th of December 2025. We are moving toward the end of the year, and it's quite very important. It's quite very important also to understand that when institutions are giving us advice, advice, particularly what you need to do when you are in the festive season, make sure that when it comes to your house, even if you do not talk to your neighbor, this is the time. And we must also build that relationship to say, speak to my neighbor, so that when I traveled out, somebody is able to look after my dogs, after my house, after my property. And also to build that relationship, because at the end of the day, it's not right, and it can't work for the police to protect all the houses in every region, in every town, in every village. But the relationship of people can also be able to assist in dealing with those issues. So we are greeting you from your number one favorite radio station, and make sure that you fasten your seatbelt, and we'll be here until the hour of 8. And before we go to the conversation for today, because we always want to make sure that when you are in this holiday, we are still giving you content, but also content that will allow you to think, content that will also allow you to breathe when you are in the holiday, and also content that will also allow you when you come from that holiday, when comes the 1st of January, it comes the new year, 2026. At least you have a different perspective, different view about how things are being done. And you can also be able to build on that conversation, because discussion allows us to dig deep into research, to dig deep into collection of information. And how you use that information is what matters. And also how you verify too the information, because you find people who like use information to their advantage, who interpret data to their advantage. But one of the things about the fact is that the fact is does not have emotions. And the fact must be able to look at it and also see what can we do moving forward. So let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. What is happening in the continent of Africa before we come to the conversation for today. And also to see how the conversation will go this morning. It is indicated that the government of Botswana is investigating, you know, the recruitment of young people in the Russia-Ukraine war. And it's indicated that the Botswana government is investigating two young men allegedly recruited to fight in Ukraine. As more Africans are said to be misled or promised military training and also, you know, lucrative payment in engaging in a Russia-Ukraine war. And you must be able to realize that it's not only in Botswana, there have been cases of former war veterans in Kenya participating in Russia-Ukraine war. And there have been also, you know, allegations in South Africa that even led to the fight of former President Jacob Zuma's daughters, especially when it's coming to who was involved into recruitment of young men into the Russian-Ukraine war with promises of getting jobs. But they end up given AK-47, they end up being sent to the front line. And that is it's a concern. And you're also asking yourself, maybe how many are from SADC regions? Do we also have somebody from Namibia? Because we like things. We like things and anything that is about money, anything that is about you being rich very fast, especially the young and desperate young people of my generation, we don't verify. You see, somebody's telling you, you know, there's this, you know, jobs abroad, can we please apply? But you need to verify information, you need to understand what is being happening, because when you enter a certain country, then your passport is confiscated and you sign a certain contract, you end up, you know, be bound to that contract and you'll be forced to fight the war that you don't even agree with. That is why the government of Botswana is investigating the involvement of two men who believe to have been deceived into joining Russia-Ukraine war. And the Ministry of International Relations and also government officials are investigating as this pair, or these two young men, aged 19 and 20, very young men, one is even 18, 19 and 20, who they did not even start with life, already sent the front line. And those are the people that are used in war, because you do not have any experience of life. You don't have maybe a wife at that time. Your focus is to take the enemy down. And it's also unfortunate that they end up finding themselves in this situation. And there are also reports of a lot of Africans who end up in the front line fighting. That's why there was also a case of a Nigerian man who joined a Russian army and was also captured. Was also captured by Ukrainian. And you see this when you go online, you'll be able to read this to say, how come a guy of my color end up in the war that is completely different? This completely different from you know, what Africa stand for. And it's just a matter of concern. But yeah, while we are talking about crisis, it is stated that looking at the side of DRC, M23 is continue to push, and they are concerned of this war to ruin also regional peace. And there are also immediate call of countries also to restrain, especially Rwanda and DRC. Immediate calls, because it is indicated that there's fighting continuing in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Questions are mounting over Kinshasa's real capacity to pressure on neighboring Rwanda. And also, which in this case is accused of, you know, backing M23. And it is stated that, you know, people are blaming Washington, are blaming the United States of America, especially into, you know, in this war. especially not able to pressure Rwanda, also to indicate or to give a direction to its allies, that is M23, especially when it comes to war in DRC. And it's so indicated that the situation is getting out of hand. The situation is getting out of hand. And there is a question being posed to say, in DRC, is Katanga the next target for M23? And when you look at Katanga province, it's one of the province which is richer in mineral resources. And when Katanga is controlled, it's going to be very difficult for DRC to get in order, even though it's already not in order. And you're also asking yourself to say, is now M23 looking at taking over the country, or is looking at its initial plan of defending itself? And you're also asking yourself to say, what is AU doing? What is SADC doing? And also, what is the impact of this? Because believe me, you, in 2 weeks' time, you'll be able to see the spreading of people in either in SADC, in Africa. People are leaving the whole torn country, and that is also going to bring us problems, particularly in taking care of refugees and also supporting of the capacity of people within the country, because we are already struggling to support ourselves. We are already struggling to assist our young people to get opportunities. We are already struggling to deal with food security. And we also have our neighbors from Angola who are also running away from poverty, running away from hunger. We are already within our country, even though the way we treat them like they are not human, which is quite unfortunate. But the question mark is, what is the impact of prolonged conflict in the human development of Africa, particularly at this critical time? And also, what does it say about governance of African states, and also the security of the region? Because the security of the region matters. The security of SADC matters, because if these things are not handled very well, it is indicated that, a war has a direct and indirect impact on not only people within the country. It's also a direct impact on trade allies, direct impact of countries within the region. And you see how things are going to be. And looking at this, it's stated that after the fall of Uvira, questions are mounting about possible advancement of AFC M23 rebels in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Political analysts and international relations analysts are saying now, with the gaining of control of the Uvira, gaining of that control, it's stated that now M23 have a number of options, including advancing to the south of Katanga region, and which is economic strategic region, and it's rich in mineral resources such as diamond, oil, and it's a matter of questions, and also to ask yourself to say, how come a standing defense force of DRC being pushed back by rebels? What is that that the government cannot give to its defense to protect the citizens and the region? How come a standing, fully elected government being forced into a corner by a group of people who the world want to say they do not have a country? Who is backing these people? Why are they now pushing? Do they want a regime change in DRC? And what is SADC doing about it? And by the way, who is the head of SADC?
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the conversation. And it's a matter of analysis, and it's also a matter of looking into that aspect, and also to see and ask questions to say, why do citizens engage into anti-government actions, particularly in the developing country? Why always wealthy nations engage into anti-government actions? Who is behind all these things? Who is a beneficiary of conflicts? And you cannot only scale it down to protest and war. You can also scale it down to corruptions and deals under the table. Who forced us to make deals under the table? Who is the main beneficiary of corruptions in Africa? And I always have a strong view, and this is my personal view, especially when you look at conflict, when you look at corruptions, to say, man, who is the main beneficiary of this corruption? In fact, Africa is getting less, or Africans who are alleged or who are corrupted in many cases, they get less from things that they get into. In most cases, somebody from the outside. And you agree with me. It's always somebody from the outside. It's always somebody who give you sophisticated technology. It's always somebody who is giving you money so that he can invade, cross-border charges. It's always somebody who give you funds so that you can give quotas to international companies. That is why when people are saying, for example, the mastermind of Fishrod, he's saying, Jade, I don't think that is a mastermind. The mastermind are the people who are outside. Are the people who are benefiting from our resources. And we don't see this. And when international agencies on corruption indicators are presenting this, they are making it to say that Africans are the one. Yes, they are the one. But where are they banking their money? How come an ordinary David end up with their offshore account in UK, and no question is being asked? Who is benefiting from these institutions? I mean, from these activities. Who is benefiting from this? And we are yet to see how things are going to turn out. And it's also a matter of asking ourselves to say, what is the destruction of, who saws the destruction of Africa? It's our own, it's when we're undermining ourselves. It's when we lack confidence. It is also when we always agree with everything which is coming from outside. And when you always think that we are not good enough, when somebody advises you, then you end up doing things which are not right. Then you end up compromising your own country. And you end up, selling your country for money, which is quite something that is so low, very, very low. And yeah, let us look at the news of Gaza Strip before we go to the main conversation for today, before we start speaking about mining, before we start speaking about the real presentation of strings attached. Now, being strings attached is not even something that is being hidden, something which is presented itself to say, give me this where I'm giving you this, or I'm only assisting you because you are wealthy. I'm only assisting you, not really because I want to give you aid, not really because I want to assist people who are suffering of poverty in your country, but because I want to get this, lucrative mining deals. And you are also asking yourself to say, is it only happening in Zambia? Did it only happen in Zambia? Or is it also happening with us? What can we do to protect our resources from such deals that destroy the country. How can we differentiate too between aid, grant, loans, and also trade agreements? And what are the rules of engagement? What are the referees, such as international law, is saying? What is World Trade Organization is saying? Are we trading or are we assisting each other? Are you helping somebody or you assisting each other? And we must make that difference. Are you doing it because of humanity or you are, you know, want something? And if that opportunity is not there, if that poverty is not there, it means that you are not going to do business. If that disease is not there in Africa, it means that you are not going to do business. That is the conversation that we are going to engage into, particularly looking at the context of Zambia. But before we go there, it was indicated that winter storm displaced over 500,000 people in Palestine. The severe winter put over 500,000 people at risk. That is in Palestine. And they're also asking yourself these questions to say, troubles never end, especially in some of these countries. What is really happening? It was indicated that hundreds of thousands of displaced Palestinians are at risk from cold and flood, a storm Byron make landfall in Gaza Strip. And already a war-torn zone of over 2 years, war. Gaza Strip has been hit by severe winter storm, and the sources are saying 12 people have died, and thousands of makeshift homes have been flooded, and there's thousands of temporary houses, temporary homes have been flooded, and it's very not only to say unfortunate, it's just become worse, especially after the war, which have killed almost 70,000 people, 70,000 people just in the span of 2 years. And you're also asking yourself, when is trouble going to end? It's Palestine, it's DRC. So some of the case studies of our time. But not for good reason. Case studies, and it's a matter of critical engagement, and also to say what is the role of international institutions, especially in assisting these people. Because imagine you have been living in Palestine or in Gaza Strip for the past 15 years. Imagine how traumatized you are. You don't even know the meaning of peace. Imagine how traumatized the generation of those children are. And everybody see the world from a different perspective, and that is a long-term trauma that can be passed generation to generation. That's why we are in the same world, but we don't have a different perspective because we don't have same experience. And also to say, sometimes we are in trouble. We are suffering also here in Namibia due to situations and conditions, but you must also say, when you look at another person, you start appreciating the condition that you have. When you look at other countries in SADC region, you also start to say, yes, I'm not celebrating poverty, but there are things which I still have, and there are still things which I still can do. There are still plans which I can still put in place and can still work. And there is still hope. But in other countries, people are not only thinking about eating, they are not only thinking about jobs, they are not only thinking about opportunities or curriculum need to change. They are not debating about who should have stakes in oil. They are only debating about how should I survive in the next 24 hours. That is the difference. That is how cruel the world is. And other people are not even thinking about how should I advance my small business. They are only thinking about how should I survive in the next 24 hours. That's why in the world that we are living in, sometimes as an individual, it's the same thing. And person to person, sometimes you think you are suffering. And there was a comparison given. It's one of the retreats of these things being presented to say, when a man without a man without shoes, or a man with old shoes, have seen. A man without shoes have seen, somebody without feet. He started appreciating life. Because you are complaining about your old shoes, or you are complaining about not having shoes. Somebody has no feet, and there is always a worse condition. But that should not be celebrated. The living standard, the human life should, quality of human life should still be upgraded. But comparing to what people are going through, comparing to how disorganized, displaced people are, look at DRC, look at Madagascar, look at Mozambique, look at Zimbabwe. And beforehand, although now things are coming to normal, based on indication, but look at those countries and you are comparing with Namibia, then you will say, I think we are still standing a very good chance of succeeding, or we are still standing a very good chance of sustainability in peace, economy. We just need to get one thing right. We just need to get governance correctly. We just need coherence of institutions, and we just need to make sure that we have national duty, and patriotism, as it has been indicated, and we do exactly what needs to be done with a very rich country with few population, but unable to feed ourselves. And if we do what we say, I think that will be a great thing. Because looking at this news, these are not good news. Looking at Palestine, looking at DRC, looking at Madagascar, looking at Mozambique, look at also Nigeria, some part, look at the Sahel region. Even countries where the government is leading this side, in the other area, they even know they are not going to budge an inch. They even know that they are not going to patrol a certain area. And you are just asking yourself how we end up here. But yeah, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation, especially when we speak about strings attached, we speak about the case study of Zambia, speak about strings attached and mineral resources, and also to see what are the, some of the things that forcing African countries to end up in this situation. And are these assistance going to assist those countries to stand on their own? Because remember, if you come to the point of wanting to enter into the mining agreement with me because you are giving me money, because I'm suffering of hunger, because I have drought, or because a lot of people within my country have a certain disease, does it mean that the cure of that disease is also the end of business? So it's quite a very deep question also to ask, to say, is difficulties that Africa going through an opportunity to the Western world? Because if you are linking health deal with a mining corporation, then you must be able to understand that that is one of the most unethical, open unethical. It's not even strings attached. It's a proposal on the table. But let's see, is Zambia going to agree? Are you going to agree on that? Because if you are trading with me, or if you are assisting me in terms of health, trading with you is still my choice. Because those are completely different things. Then we can also look at what African Union governance, natural resource governance report of 2025 has stated, especially to say no, some of the deals, some of agreements, particularly regarding natural resources, must be reviewed to benefit Africans. Some of these deals which were entered into in during colonialism must be reviewed. It's not me who is saying that. is the study done by African Union through African Union peer review mechanism and African Natural Resource Governance report of 2025. Then you'll be able to see, is it now what has been stated presenting itself? So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can engage into the conversation. However, you can still give your input, ask your question at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401, because the aim is to educate one another. The aim is to co-create knowledge and also to learn, because a mistake done more than twice is not a mistake anymore. It becomes a habit, and also it becomes a way of life. If then the founding fathers of the African Union, if those who built the foundation of our states did the mistakes before colonialism or enter into agreements that are not benefiting us, does it also mean that we should fall in the same trap? Does it mean that we should fall in the same trap? What is the capability and capacity of the new generation of African negotiators? I see a lot of people at COP30 climate summit. Do we really have negotiators who can put proposal down? Do we really have negotiators, or we just have formalities, or people who just formalize? Do we really have chief negotiators, or we just want a deal? I still want to see. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, today, what is your view?
Today, what is my view? What are my views all these days?
Come again?
So, I just want to begin with the how you began also.
Yeah.
The issue of DRC and things like that, you did ask, what happened to the commanders and all those ones? Yes, they can also be they can also be captured.
Okay.
I'm always having a problem of that word.
Okay.
Infrastructure. So maybe the army is also captured. Mm-hmm. Somehow maybe the commanders. And I know very well that those things that are advancing, maybe there's a hidden agenda for them to make sure that they want the regime change. And many things of that nature are happening. For our people who are actually in especially the South African one.
What's happening within your background?
Oh, you are listening. Oh, but I'm very far. Okay, let me just move a step far. So, the one in South Africa, especially for the daughter of Jacob Zuma, I think because people are saying that they went there, they did not know, they go for military training and things like that.
Mm.
I don't believe that. I think that one is just a way of, it's a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
So instead they went there for military training, why didn't they go into their country? There are always military training and all these things going on there.
Yeah, but people also get advanced military training from other countries. We also have.
So why can't they go through the government structure?
No,
that is the thing. If there are those kind of bilateral agreements, why couldn't they go with the government through government structure?
No, that is not the case, because the case of Duduzile Zuma is that these people were apparently told to get training, to advanced training in terms of bodyguards, not really to say military. Then they end up at the war zone, because their initial proposal or what was sold to them is that you are going to be trained in terms of this executive protection. Maybe you become bodyguards of MK senior leaders. Then they get advanced training in Russia. But that is, did not end up being the case. That is the argument on the table.
What different does it make? You have heard from this Julius Muganezi, they were also having some kind of maybe three people or more who are trained as sub-suitors. And remember, and the same story, that story is also linked to that. And so the problem of this daughter is because he made that kind of incitement to cause violence. And that's why you have witnessed what has happened in South Africa. It's because of her remarks and her commandment. So the same people who were there, who were sent there to be trained as bodyguards in South Africa. South Africa has got an advanced military capability also.
Advanced.
So they were also going to be trained there to come and gun people in South Africa, to gun down the leaders, just like those people who were recruited.
I don't think that is what is being presented. That is not the right version of things.
Yeah, they can present anything. I'm just presenting my view.
No. Sometimes the views must also be guided. It's not what it is. I'm indicating to you that is what the court is saying. It's not to say.
No, that thing has not finished because the court
again?
Is presenting.
Yeah,
allegation and information that are brought.
But do we have any supporting evidence to say they were trained to come gun down people?
No, Julius Mukwanazi actually got four men, okay, three, those who are trained sub suitors to make sure that they gun down people.
They are trained where?
So some of them went to be trained in America. Some of them were trained even, you know, most of those people were actually security guards.
They
were also part of the formation of this, the Kufut and the other, SWAT. Did you not hear? Because SWAT came in there, it was presented there, they cut VIPs. All those things, these are the people who were actually formally trained already. And they were recruited in that kind of MPD to make sure that, yes, it was a security agent anyway. So, and that's the purpose was to make sure that they are good in sub-suta.
Oh, okay. Now, what is your view on Zambia mining deal?
Yes, the view on the Zambia mining, since all those things, I think the president, they can deal with it better because he was... is also in that area. So in that mining issues, if the Americans are giving you some preconditions, that's what they do. They have been doing that all along since in time immemorial to give you some kind of precondition to make sure that you are here and they suffocate you. So it's us all now to make sure that we come in there with technical know-how to negotiate and make sure that we have got a serious take. We can also give them some preconditions.
Is it only the U.S. or also what other countries are doing?
But you have mentioned U.S. I can start with the U.S. have mentioned that maybe it's backing this Rwandan rebels and things like that.
We are on the same page. I'm asking to say, is it only the U.S. or also other countries who are involved in mining also doing the same? To say I'm giving you assistance.
Those who are mining and trying to extract our natural resources. So we must also give them conditions. There are many, especially the Western so-called powers. They are also involved in these things. And we make sure that we put our feet on the ground and negotiate and make sure that we give them preconditions and say, yes, if you do not want, there are other people who can extract minerals who have not even colonized Africa, and they are there, very pure, no blood money, nothing. So, but they are there. Are even our friends? Why can't we side with them?
But do we have negotiators in Africa?
Of course, we have negotiators. Why do you think they were able to convince the UN, the American, this Western power so-called, and even the UN, to make sure that the Africa is liberated. And we even convinced many of those people to give us guns to fight. why don't we have negotiators? Maybe nowadays,
did we achieve the aim of the liberation struggle?
Of course, we got independence. The independence is there. The freedom has come. So all what you
we are fighting for economic freedom.
This is the struggle. We are always hearing that this what has begun now is the economic struggle. The other one has been won.
What I'm indicating is that there are scholars who are saying the project of liberation is not yet done, but we can do better. Because in terms of negotiations, even when you look at CODESA negotiations, people are saying that is not why we went to fight.
If the scholars are saying that the total liberation, the total independence, the total economic independence, and all these other things, that's why it's more important to make sure that the social and the economic battle must be now fought by all of us, so that we can win that war. So now it is actually for you now to prosper in that environment, which is peace and stable, so that you can then forge on with the battle of economic. So now the political independence and all these other things are won. Even the laws and that you have now, except that where they are trying to make sure that they destabilize the whole criminal justice system. But the system is, the structures are there. The political independence is there. Even the economic. So even just by the way where you are now, it was where the black people that side actually.
Which what do you mean?
At your office there.
Come again?
There were not black people. There were not black people there.
Oh, why?
Well, you don't know. Even in the suburb from Katutula, let me just tell you, when you're coming from Katutula, this is Windhoek West and Windhoek North. There are not black there. There were not black.
But you were glorifying it. Why we are so glorifying it? And you know, when we are saying
what do you mean by glorifying it?
No, I'm just speaking in general. A lot of people, even up to now, you know, I'm saying this with respect, ne? When somebody becomes successful, they start to say, "I'm a black white person." Even now, it's true. Or I think like white people. You are still colonized, you know, that way. Do you understand what I mean?
It's a colonial hangover. Colonial hangover.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Okay. Yeah. We are continuing with the conversation. Saying it's a colonial hangover. It's a colonial hangover. Colonialism is gone. But, we still have it in our mind. No, I think it's a long-term trauma which can also affect the generation after generation, because when they came with the aim to make sure that they don't only capture your resources, they also capture your mind, they capture your education system, and also the way you present, you're operating within that established system. That's why some thinkers, they indicate that we are moving in a circle. We are debating and moving in a circle. We are debating and moving in a circle. But we don't go really to the real issues. And the moment we realize that institutions are very important, then we start prioritizing capacity over who I know. The moment we start realizing that development is not about my friends. Development is about who is able to do the job correctly, and also with a long-term impact. So let us look at ShopRite Namibia. Let us look at ShopRite and Christmas price. Then we look at a short commercial break. Then we can go directly to the conversation for today.
It's the time of year for festive savings at ShopRite. Discover merry deals and get big savings on all your holiday essentials. Shop and save on products like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, only 28 Namibian dollars 99. And 4 kg Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 199 Namibian dollars 99. Give more this Christmas with ShopRite unbeatable prices, making your holidays extra special. Offers valid until 28 December 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always get lucky with ShopRite. Stand to win your shopping for free instantly. Buy any 3 participating products to enter. Check your till slip to see if you're a winner. Keep shopping for more chances to win. Valid until 25 December 2025.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Ipuranenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete ofoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation for today. We are continuing with the main conversation, especially when you look at mining, we look at aid, we look at strings attached, especially when we are speaking about Zambia. It was indicated that the United States of America delays Zambia Health Agreement as signing becomes a contingent on mining deal to say on the 11th of December, the government of Zambia has also did not sign that agreement because initially, the government of Zambia was supposed to receive finance, and that finance is approximately 1.5 billion US dollars there, especially regarding support in terms of health and also advancement in terms of the health system in Zambia. But one of the reasons the agreement was not signed is incomplete negotiations, where part of that assistance is mining cooperation. It's mining cooperations. And they stated that the United States government has announced that the $1.5 billion in aid for health will not be released until the terms are set. What are those terms? These terms are collaboration in mining sector and business sector reform. And it was also stated that this move or this decision has surprised a lot of people. It has surprised a lot of people. And Carib Orr, an official from the Department of State in charge of energy and business development, that one of the senior officials in government of the U.S. has traveled to Zambia to meet with President H.H. Isaka Ndechilema and announced that the economic cooperation supersede and is prerequisite for health funding. And until now, the deal is not signed. There is still negotiation going on. And knowing or studying the history of Zambia and also looking at the background of the two head of states, they are both coming from the business sector. They both understand what a trade deal is. And I think Zambians, they opened their eyes and say, no, not yet. Let us look at this, because people must be able to understand that the president of Zambia, before he became a president, he was a business person. He's not only an ordinary business person. He was one of the most influential business people in Zambia, with millions of dollars. And when it's coming to the boardroom politics, I think he's not an amateur. And we are yet to see how the results are going to be. Because if you look at, the history of H.H., like Ndechilema, a graduate of business from Zambia University, he has an MBA in finance and strategy also. And that is telling you the caliber of a person that you are dealing with. And, he served in various investment portfolio and also in auditing institutions before he go into that aspect. But let us see how these things are going to turn out. And we're also going to look at, to say, has aid being like this for a very long time? Because remember, at the beginning of this year, when Trump get into power, he signed a lot of executive decisions, stopped a lot of agreements, did not renew AGOA, cut funding of USAID, a lot of people, they lost their job, but after a few months, then the U.S. came up with a new strategy of giving assistance, not to all countries, giving assistance to countries such as Uganda. And Uganda and the U.S., I'm always asking myself, Uganda has never been in good terms with USA, especially looking at the previous administration. They've never been in good terms. But I don't know what they discuss about. Although Rwanda has been the favorite with the U.S., U.S. has always been an advocate of regime change. But the only known president in Rwanda since the genocide of 1992-1993 there is Paul Kagame. That's the only known president. But they are very good friends. But the one question that we need to ask yourself is that, what bond them together? What brought them together? What is that Rwanda is giving to the U.S. that they become good friends? What is that Uganda is now giving to the U.S. and they become good friends? Because imagine, Just when, in the time of conflict, in the time of when the beginning of this month, when the president of Rwanda and the president of DRC went to the US to speak about these peace deals, just at that moment, there was already a 228 million agreement signed for a new aid deal in terms of health, supporting health system in Rwanda. And you're asking yourself to say, is this deal also including mining cooperation like any other deal that has been presented? Because US is very clear, they are the main business. And it's also now the time for African leaders also to wake up to say, when you are getting assistance and you are saying, no, our developmental partners, did we read between the lines what a developmental partner is? Did we read between the line and what are we giving them? And it's not that they should not be given, is to understand the game of everything, to say, people are not our friends. They are here because we are in this world to gain and to give. And in this world of giving and gaining, we must also be able to make sure that we negotiate our way. We cannot be without the chief negotiators, people who understand their ground. Because in other countries, just sleeping to say, no, we get this assistance for health. Then you are wondering yourself, why my health system is not improving. Imagine if Zambia had quality health system, would it be an advantage to the West? Would it be an advantage to this? It won't be an advantage. Imagine if you have fully integrated youth who are employed, who get business opportunities, then your health system is up to standard. You understand how it's going to make other people very angry that they are not going to enter into business with you because you upgrade your system and you also have resources. So it's a matter of asking, and it's also a matter of what lesson can we learn, because it's good to look at it from far. It's good to look at it from far. Because information that oil in Namibia is near. We are about to get oil maybe next year. It's near. But the question is that how many people are going to come and giving you assistance in exchange of shares within our industry? How many of them are going to come to give us assistance in the exchange of shares in our industry? Because it's near, we are about to get it, but are we going to get our hands on that? Who is at the center of that? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. The time is 13 minutes past the hour of 7. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And it's also to look to say, how many negotiators do we have in Namibia, in SADC? How many agreements have we entered into? Can we go back and relook at them and also see how we can negotiate as equal partners? How many of us negotiate with poverty mindset? How many of us negotiate with the future in mind? Apart from the SG of African Continental Free Trade Area, Wamkele Mene, who is known to be one of the Africa best negotiators, how many of trade negotiators we have, apart from title, with proven records of sealed deals? So,
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Smile if you can hear this message. You are blessed. You're alive. You may also realize that Christmas is not about the presents anymore. Christmas is about the gift of love. Your smile is contagious. It is that smile that kept everyone going at ShopRite and Checkers this past year. Thank you for your support. ShopRite Checkers wish you a fabulous festive season.
Yeah, when you're hearing those drums, when you're hearing those melodies, you must be able to understand that Christmas is near. Christmas is near. It's around the corner. And it's not far. It's around the corner. And by looking at the calendar, be able to understand that by next week, it's Christmas that you've been waiting for. That you have been praying for. And also, what are you going to do differently on Christmas? And also, what love are you going to share on Christmas? Hearing those melodies, you know, at that time when we're young, you think about mayonnaise and rice. You know, some of us at the village, you only eat rice at during critical, very important events. And it used to taste those days, unlike, you know, these days when you are grown up. Only think about rice and mayonnaise. And, yeah, that, especially mayonnaise, we only used to see them during Christmas and new clothes also. But it's quite a very beautiful thing to have those memories back when you are listening to this melody. We are still continuing the conversation about on the international trade, and also to us to say, how are the international trade institutions such as World Trade Organization saying? What is the UN saying on international trade agreements? And also, you'll be able to remember also, there was a point when Mali decided to review its mining policy, but it was taken to court by one of the French international mining company, where they are claiming that some of the minerals that they have mined, they must own them. But Mali was restricted too by that World Bank arbitration court. But one of the things that you need to put in mind is also that to say, how do you separate the business from, aid? And we have been always hearing this thing of string attached. And you can go back to the early 80s and late 70s when we speak about the aspect of structural adjustment program, where a lot of people started, and actually the bad case studies of International Monetary Fund, when you look at developmental assistance in Africa, looking at that time of the year, and some of these countries who also suffered, and I don't know why Zambia is, cornered. Is it because of its natural resources? And there's no specificity on what the natural resources are they talking about. Are they talking about copper? Because Zambia is one of the largest producers of copper in the world, and copper is a very critical mineral. We also have copper here. But Zambia is one of the main producers of copper in the world. And you'll be able to realize that even during the period of structural adjustment program, Zambia was badly affected. And its debts in the early 90s has skyrocketed And it was very difficult for that country to get into order economically. And also, Zambia is also the only country in SADC region with a critical history, particularly when it comes to its politics. And even when you are looking at it now, when you see the former president, even who died in the, I think in around June there, is still not buried because of this ongoing. But you must go back to the root. Understand that there has always been a challenge in terms of governance. But one of the major factors is that the difficulty of getting the economy right. The difficulties of getting the economy right. Good morning.
Sorry, David. That is exactly what I wanted to say yesterday, because I could not be afforded that opportunity.
Oh, you are still angry with...
No, I'm not angry.
You are not angry with me with the situation.
No, I'm not angry, but I'm just trying to address the real issue.
No, it's fine. Look, it's good to address what you are not happy with, because that is the only way we are going to improve. But
to listen, you see me, if I don't say something and it's in my mind
there,
it's going to bother me much.
No, it's good, but you know what is necessary is the way it's coming out. The way it's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe my voice, you know, sounds so threatening.
No, it's not.
Sometimes like this.
Yeah.
But in reality too, I'm just not happy with that thing.
Yeah.
So just to make sure that, we do the right thing, my friend. It's not that you are not doing the right thing. It's fine. Because sometimes we put you under pressure.
No.
There's no way you can go direct me or even indicate that yes, at least you have taken some time. Other people are also coming in. And issues of that nature. No. I'm not saying that, of course, everybody has got the right to speak. You can speak 1 hour.
No, we are.
What I'm saying is that so that we address issues.
Yeah.
Also, you know, this equitable distribution has been a problem. That's why you are now to come in there.
Look, my seniors, you are the one who did not do that first, particularly on the ground, not here. But I hear you.
There was no time. That's why I told you the concern was all about political independence.
Prophesized
by the forefathers, Dr. Nyomas, they will still come. Now they will come with only that's your space now.
No, definitely.
They will come in and say yes, because of this international law.
Yeah.
So for us, we are a bit better because you can even see some of the restriction.
Okay,
are really impeaching on the rights of the people and the freedom.
Beep.
So that the other country have come a long time ago, they are still killing people with death penalty. No other instruments.
I hear you. Before you.
So now, for us now, in the international
hello?
Yes, sir.
Before you give your view, I want to cut you short with a question to say, what agreement do you think should be relooked, especially in Namibia? Where do you think we did not do well compared to what's happened in Zambia?
The agreement that needs to be revoked or the peace and renegotiated or what I think?
Yeah. Which one do you think we did not, we should relook at them?
For us, we have a lot of domestic things that we need to do. So you see, when we look at the informal economic sector.
No, I want an agreement with the other nations.
That one also will impact us. Eh?
Okay.
This is structural, also. What is it? This Margaret Thatcher, which have got a serious impact on us. So, for example, so maybe I might just see, but I know even on the trade deal. So trade laws. So for us, we look at, even the jurisdiction, especially on the jurisdiction. Very, very crucial, because people run, they commit crime here, they do this and that. Then when you want to now say, yes, guys, you know already this person has committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is also against a crime against humanity, for example. But mm-hmm. The person is still protected. No, there's no extradition and all these things. Those are some of the areas that you look at because they have a lot of impact. And also, the issue of non-governmental organization. We were not talking about those things yesterday.
Come again?
We do not talk about issues of that govern, that regulate organization or laws that regulate the informal economy. We do not talk about it. I think there's also somehow that bylaw, the one that is preventing our people to sell, for example, to trade,
mm-hmm.
it must be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Because the GDP depends on the informal economy. Whether it's informal, agricultural, subsistence, whatever you call it, all those things. So the people have to buy, if you build a house, something to maybe storage at your village, is it going to be collateralized?
Okay. Oh, no, I hear you.
Is that not something that you need to look at in terms of the legal instrument?
No, I hear you.
Thank you very much, David. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. We are moving forward. We are moving forward with the conversation. Let's look at the short commercial break. Then we also look at a little bit on history of this international agreement, and also to see where did we get it wrong, where we supposed to act that time, or what time we should act. Is the time already now to act, especially when it's coming to entering into those agreements, and what is being considered when it comes to a state entering into an agreement with another state, what is being considered when you get assistance? And is it also now very important to look at what you have been calling a win-win situation? There have been a lot of beautiful programs, beautiful agreements, beautiful investment, money coming into Namibia. But the question that you are asking yourself is to say, have we looked at the end goal, the long-term impact of this agreement? If we look at the long term of this investment, and it also let us ask ourselves a question to say, when we speak about 2025 Greenfield Economic Intelligence Report, which has elevated us, when you think about that report which has elevated us, especially as a country, can you really go back and say these billions of money which is invested in Namibia, are we going to win with these billions of money, or is somebody's advantage? Are we going to get our hands into this money? Are we even feeling this money? Because with Zambia just realized to say, no man, this amount of money is a lot. But there's also somebody who come and convince me to work with him in the mining sector. What is that? If you want mining, let's talk mine to mine. Okay, can they do that to China, to Russia, to Canada, to Cuba, and to other countries? Or it's only in Africa? You know that it's only in Africa where government can get into an agreement to say, I give you mining, then you build roads for me. I give you a mining resource, build roads for me. Maybe it's also one of the things which got the current president of DRC into trouble, because when he came to power, he said, no man, some of these things are not correct, they are not right. How are you going to measure how much you are gaining, how we are getting infrastructure over mineral resources? Why do we have to go to barter trading with things that we do not understand? If I give you a mine and you are building 20 schools for me, is that real business? If you are coming to me to say, I'm giving you a gift, and you say, I can only give you a gift if we start selling with each other, or I start buying from you. At what price? Because obviously, it's not only about let's get into cooperation, because you already dictate. Because when you come on the table, I never thought about that. You have already your contract in place. You are already dictating. And in contract law, there's never something like that. I don't know if this is a new international contract law. There's never something like that. Yes, there's those who conceal without explaining, but there's never something like that to say aid or grant with trading cooperation. It's even my first time seeing it coming out live on that, but it's yet to be looked at. And also to say, is this a new strategy, or it has been in place? Is it only used to African countries, or it has also been used with other African countries? Is it a carrot and stick strategy? Is it gaining opportune moment during conflict? But it's also something that also led us to think, because it also says a lot about how a person look at your intelligence. It says a lot about how you view my intelligence, how you view my understanding. Because if you come with that deal, and you can only do this because of this, then something else. So that's why when you are at this festive season, it's also very important to start thinking about those things. It's so very important to start thinking about the thing to say. Man, there is a lot of agreement, there is a lot of meetings, there is a lot of conferences, there is a lot of global players investing in our oil and gas and many other resources. But what are we giving them? Are we even getting those resources? Because if you look at the short history of structural adjustment program, particularly in the 80s, you must be able to understand that when you speak about structural adjustment program is when International Monetary Fund came up with new programs to say, for us to give loans assistance to African countries, there must be strings attached. Open up your market. That is liberalization of trade. Even if you have unorganized, small infant business, open up your market so that they can come and compete with you. Open up your market. You must have a multi-party system. You must cut your fundings on social affairs. You can't invest more in education and health. Privatize all the companies. You privatize state-owned companies. Then you give much power to the private sector. And they control resources, because when you privatize, it means that you sell to international community, because when you privatize, it's not your continent, your country people that are going to buy shares in that. These are the people with money. That's why when you look at statistics, you'll be able to see countries like Zambia, Nigeria, and almost 80% of this program was not a success. 80% of the countries who went through these programs did not succeed. They end up in debt. And it was so chaotic. So let us look at a short commercial break. We'll look at into this factor. And we'll continue the conversation. It's 33 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are moving. We are moving toward Christmas. Christmas that we have been waiting for is next week. And after next week, then it's New Year. Then we transfer progressively, smoothly to 2026. Then when you are in 2026, we are only talking about 2027. Then it's 2028, and you will be in 2030. Because when you are looking at things, we should already speak about us being in 2026. Because that is how I think to say, when you're in 2026, you must already think about you being 2027. Because years are moving very fast. Then we spend more time into meetings, into boardrooms, than on site. we spend more time on academic conversation. We start theorizing. We start theorizing without a little practice. Without theorizing, without even going into the field where we are theorizing into, to connect between my ideas and also the actions which is happening. That is why we should not be shocked that when 2030 come, we are still in the boardroom discussing to say, how should we deal about this issue? Because when you look at how things are, when you look at how things are, you must be able to realize and also understand that Africa is some of the best or outspoken politicians of all time, with all the qualifications and honorary qualifications that I've never even seen in the Western world. And this is a reality. But when it comes to what we do, my brother, my sister, even a toothpick, we are not able to make. But we are waiting for oil. But I've seen somebody, but we also need to give thanks to those who are pushing. Because I was, when you look at the Villager newspaper for yesterday, you must be able to read and understand that there are those Namibians who add values to their products. Just somebody come up with making peanut butters and selling not only in hundreds but into thousands. And if people like this can be supported, who build industries in Namibia. And that is exactly what we are speaking about. To say, let us not be boardroom heroes and warriors, but practical guys who do things. So let us look at a short commercial break. We'll look at structural adjustment programs and what they have done to Africa, and also and we continue the case study of Zambia, and also how do we develop better trade negotiators who negotiate long term, who negotiate quality, who negotiate without only looking at themselves, who don't compromise on behalf of the continent, and also who you know, push and negotiate without a poverty mindset.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa mini udo o tukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa o marudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona o ijabo iri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mbara hetatu natu mbali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and we are looking at the issue of concealed deals in terms of mining coming up presenting themselves as aid, and also we are also looking at the situation of Zambia to say, Are they going to accept that deal of $1.5 billion over mining, corporations? And when you speak about mining corporations, what do we mean? Because when you look at, for example, Zambia, look at Zambia being one of the highest producers of largest producers of copper. It's in the top 10 in the world, and also number two in Africa after Democratic Republic of Congo, because DRC is leading in a lot of things after Democratic Republic of Congo. Then you're also asking yourself to say, if this can happen to Zambia, what does it mean to Namibia? Could it also happen to Namibia? Is it now our time for us to not only be desperate on getting assistance, but also to ask ourselves this question to say, why countries are so fast to assist us when we are in trouble? Why we get more aid than the real deals? Why we get more assistance when we have drought? We get assistance when we're in COVID-19. Do you know how many materials we have received from those countries? Just speak about the assistance when we're in COVID. How many? Was it this real assistance? Or there was something attached to say, when I come back tomorrow, when I bring in my mining companies, don't even bother asking for all the requirements. Can you go back and also take a stock how much we have lost being played by other kids? How much we have lost and what can we do? Because blaming is always not a very good thing. But looking into the future to say, looking at 2026, any deal that we are getting into, before he pronounces it a win-win situation, we must study it. We must go into details. We must look at those international trade lawyers, not the deal maker. Look at those international trade lawyers, the advice and look into the details of those contracts. And see, when you get aid, is aid. What is international law saying about aid? Is assistance when you have a condition, when you have a situation. Free will because of humanity. When you speak about business, let us not mix business with pleasure and assistance. We speak about business and trade on, we trade on equal basis. And looking at the structural adjustment program of 1980s, you might be able to realize that in 1990, Zambia external debts was standing at $6.9 billion, and rose from 3.3 in 1980. And that is also telling you to say, when you get assistance with strings attached, and you did not study the condition very well, it will not help you. Because between 1980 and 1990, Zambia was also getting loans from World Bank or International Monetary Fund. But due to those conditions, due to those strings attached, the economy collapsed. Because at that point, it's also the point that Zambia was also busy assisting the liberation struggle. And it was also forced to privatize its copper industry. And when you privatize copper industry, then as a government you have less control over the dynamics of the prices of copper. Then it puts Zambia into trouble at that time. And the economic challenge in terms of debt has also impacted the way of life. And the way structural adjustment program have done is that when you open up for competition, there are records of farmers with rotten crops because they are not able to sell, because there is a new market. There is an open of international cooperation with they come with their resources and exploit the Zambian. They do not even look at the protection of the environment. That is how an unthought-for deal can do to a country. It can do it silently, can annihilate you silently, or can come with a sound, like what is being said. Because everything that you speak about, win-win situation, if agreements that we enter into were a win-win situation, why are we where we are? So, you know, we got into agreement with that, it's a win-win situation. Was it really a win-win situation? But now is a time to look into the future, to say, what is the future looking like? What is the future of oil industry? What is the future of the energy sector looking like? What is the future of our marine resources looking like? I don't want to speak about fishing quotas and other aspects, but that is the reality of things, to say, was it really win-win with the Icelandics? Was it a win-win? Good morning.
My name is Council.
Yes, sir.
So does that not mean that you cannot protect your infant industry, who cannot compete based on this imperfect competition?
What do you mean?
So when you mentioned that most of our, some of the products of our people, are rotten. It's true because they cannot compete.
That is not what I said.
Okay, sorry. So let me say what I know about those competition.
What I said is that in the 1980s, when IMF restructured their funding program under structural adjustment program, one of the requirements was, if you want me to give you loans and assistance, you must open up your market.
Yes, then
you must privatize your natural resources.
They are the one who really actually brought this this, I mean, they have actually, I don't know how to worsen the informal economic market that we used to have.
Then you cannot,
because one of the most conditions, the first condition was that you must downsize your government. Strange the people. Because the government expenditure, public expenditure is too much.
Yeah.
You don't now side your people and let them be unemployed. Of course, anyway, for us, during the colonial time and apartheid, so most of the black were just employed in these other issues. But what I'm saying now here is that that does, even if you open up your market, that's good. Even the Africa Continental Free Trade, everything tells you about that one. But that does not mean you cannot protect your infant industry. That's what I'm saying. All we need to do
No, those are two opposing ideas, because protectionism is anti-free market.
No, we are not using that protectionism that the way you are putting
it. How do you protect your infant industry if you are if your meme who is selling chicken is competing with Nando's?
So that's why we are saying in other areas, like that's why you see this agronomic board, you know, they always come in, they will tell you about the restriction and all these things. They are using some registration, isn't it?
Yeah, that one I understand.
So now for you, now if you know that, yes, in this specific area, this technology and all these things, and the, my people cannot compete, and they are still those kind of infants, those who are coming up with their concept ideas, business ideas to get into the market. If they have to compete with a multinational company, it is now you there. Like I said, that's why I was saying your space is there, to make sure that you come up, craft up the registration, that you really, some of those ones are there. What are those ones using?
Which one?
To make sure that, yes, they restrict some of this product and service that's coming in the country, so that our people can, it's only where there's no consistency of supply, so that you don't create economic chaos and crisis. So you need to make sure that, yes, these ones are coming, they are protected, or facilitate some kind of partnership that will really benefit the people. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Yeah, some 8 minutes before eight, before we give the mic to Mike, and we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And what I'm indicating is that, you know, in this economy, you are not only being tricked in the street, you're also being tricked at the highest, most respected grounds. And that's why we have always been saying to say, when it comes to the foundation of African economy, money was not part of the foundation of African economy. And it's something that we are continue learning, and we must learn very fast if you want to keep up with the world. And the solution to our problem, we must be able to understand that it's not coming from outside, but we must be able to understand that we need the external world. But the question is also that, what posture are we presenting? When an African leader is called to UK, for example, is he really excited? Is he excited like me, an ordinary person, to go and take a picture and also to see beautiful hotels? Or he is really going there to make sure that he mean business. And I still want to see records where African countries in the past 35 years, apart from South Africa is industrialized with its own chaos. It's at the same, it's a different level compared to many other countries. I still have to see real deals, real trade deals that assist us long term. Because the question that every African leader is asking is more money. Believe me, the question that is, how should we get more money to develop, and how much money is enough to develop? We need to. Who is doing it? And I was listening to one of the, I think you said it's a digit for planning, and speak about what you need to do, what we need to do. But the question is, we are going to. Because if I'm a counselor, then I say, no, we need to invest in quality education within our constituency. We need to invest in, protection of the old people. We need to rehabilitate the young people who are in the street, involved into crimes and using drugs and all these things. Who is going to do it? When a policymaker is saying we must or we need to, we must also look like we are not dead in the present. When you are a leader and you are speaking about I need to, we have to, just say this is what is going to happen. This is the direction that we are taking. And that is leadership. We must invest more into that. Who is investing if you have the power vested in you by the people to exercise that state power? You have power and resources and the machinery. That's why we must make sure that we change that. Particularly those with power and authority. Because if you are saying we need to, and you are in charge, then we have a long way to go. And you must come to the reality with that. To say, we must say and do what we say. Oh, Namibia need to invest, business people need to know. If you are in charge, we need to, it's me giving advice so we can discuss, but not somebody who is in charge. Imagine if I'm in charge of the pot full of poikikos, then I'm telling people that, no, we need to distribute this poiki correctly so that the people can eat. We must invest in equal distribution of this poiki, because it's not right. Because when you are in charge, push that agenda. When you have resources, it must be less of the talking. The talking must be for us radio presenters. If you look at most of the speeches, and I was talking yesterday with Helmut about political communication, and also analyze few of the statements, just to say, when you speak about a current need, which need the current attention, then you look at the communication, the posture, then you understand that we have a long way to go. Then you understand that we have been speaking about corruption for over 20 years. But things will continue. We spoke about policing, smart policing in the city of Windhoek, but people are robbing in the daylight. On camera, you see a person, but you cannot catch that person because the quality of the device is not correct. We don't need to, we must do it. When it comes to trade negotiations, particularly when we are going toward African Continental Free Trade Area, we don't need to, it must be done. Pan-Africa Payment and Settlement System is not something that we need to, it must be done. It must be done, it must be signed. Because that is the way to go. It must be signed. But you cannot speak about continental free trade area if you are not subscribing to the trading mechanism that is going to be used. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation, and thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. Do you understand you are enjoying your holiday? Make sure that, you take care of yourself. You don't do what you don't want others to do to you. Don't touch people's partners. Don't touch people's properties. Be responsible. If you are satisfied, you can go home. And too much of something is always end up into dangerous things. But yeah, bye-bye and see you around.